Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Somewhat of a familiar passage of Scripture. The phrase found in verse 8 is one that you hear possibly preached on often. It's just a tremendous, tremendous verse in the Bible. And so what Isaiah would acknowledge in the presence of an almighty God. But we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8 this morning. And so if you have that, if you'd stand with me, we'll read together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Isaiah chapter 6, the great prophet Isaiah, verse 1. The Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, which with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for the opportunity that you've made available to each one that's here to be in church this morning. And thank you for what we've already experienced in this place. And I pray, God, now as we just look into this passage of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, God, I ask that you would just give each one of us insight into this passage of Scripture. Pray that you would help us to understand it. I pray, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth the message you have for your people this morning from thy word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Isaiah's great words when he said, Here am I, send me. A great passage of Scripture. For Isaiah, what a great place to be in life. I believe that every born-again believer, if you could be where Isaiah was at then, if you could have that mindset, if we could be in the place where we acknowledge who God is, we understand the opportunities and the blessings and the privileges that God has made available to us, and we would just look up to Almighty God and say, Here am I. Send me. Send me. What I want to preach to you this morning and is found right here in the passages that with the scripture that we just read is, how did he get there? What has God revealed to us concerning Isaiah and how he got to that place where he was able to say from the bottom of his heart, looking unto God and saying, Here am I, send me. There's three different things I want us to look at this morning in this passage of scripture. First of all, it starts with seeing God for who he is. The second thing is then to see ourselves for who we are in light of who God is. And then lastly, to see our opportunities and view them as opportunities that God makes available to us. It's been said our lives are windows of opportunity in eternity. From eternity past all the way to eternity future, God sees it all. And for whatever reason, in this particular window of eternity, God has allowed each one of us to live in this 21st century. and the United States of America. With the technology and all that we have today, it's just the day and age that God has allowed you and I to live, and it's a window of eternity. It's a window of opportunity in eternity. And I believe that we ought to want to make the most of it, because what we do with our lives will impact our eternities. As we studied this morning, there is an eternal place of hell, and there's an eternal place of heaven. And the most important thing for a person to do is to make the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because that will change your eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? And as you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then it opens up doors of opportunity to accomplish things for the cause of Christ. What a great thought. What a great thought. Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, the Bible reveals that Isaiah is given a glimpse of who God is. A glimpse of who God is. Now, it's a vision, and God worked in and through visions in the Old Testament, and now there's no sense for that. There's no need for that, because we have the full revelation of God. We have the completion of the Word of God. We have so much more, but He did in the Old Testament. He worked through visions, and this is a vision that God has given Isaiah, which was one of the prophets of the Lord. He represented the very God that created him and that gave him these opportunities. And so we find that God reveals a glimpse of who He is in a vision to Isaiah, and this vision reveals that God is high and lifted up. Verse 1, he says, near the King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I saw this in this vision, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. I believe that every one of us ought to be able to see God as so much higher than what mankind has. We ought to be able to understand that God is high and He's lifted up. And He, in the presence of angels and created beings. Now, some would take this and they would want to break down and what this creature was and what each set of wings meant. And you can do all that. I am not that type of preacher. I'm a practical preacher. Amen. I believe that God has given us this so that we might understand that God surrounds Himself in an attitude and an environment of praise. And everything that is around God understands that He is high and lifted up, and that He is holy, holy, holy. And everything that God has created and everything that surrounds God is glorifying Him, is praising Him. God surrounds Himself in an environment of praise. And praise the Lord for that, because one day when we are taken into eternity, one day when this physical life is over and our windows of opportunities to impact the cause of Christ in this life is over, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, then I am going to experience that very same atmosphere of praise. And I will be along with the angels and all the other created beings, however many there will be. But humanity is the most important of all of God's creation, because it's the only one that He created in His likeness and after His image. And God desires our praise. God desires us to acknowledge Him for who He is. God wants us to see Him as He wanted Isaiah to see Him, as high and lifted up. God wants us to understand that He is holy, holy, holy. It's how all of us should see Him today. It's how all of us will see Him someday. There's no vision today, but we have many things that point to God and who He is. The Bible reveals that we have creation to look to, an intelligent design of nature. We have everything around us, realizing that God created it for humanity. Amen. We look back to the book of Genesis and we find God's design and how He created the order of creation, and all the different things work together so well. And He provided all that for humanity. The crown of creation. He did that so that they would understand who He is, His capabilities. We would see Him as high and lifted up, and we would not try to bring God down to man. Amen? We would not try to create God as the God that we want him to be, as possibly a genie, and thinking ourselves of having that lamp that we can rub and have whatever we want from God. And that's bringing God down to our mentality. And today, I hate the thought of people thinking that and refer to God as the man upstairs. No, he's not the man upstairs. He is a holy, holy, holy God, and he is high and lifted up. He's not your boy either. Amen. Some people want to bring God down to themselves, and they want to just acknowledge God as they want to acknowledge God. And God says, I'm much more than that. When you think of me, when you look to me, understand that I am. My thoughts are so much higher and greater than your thoughts, and my ways are so much higher and greater than your ways. I am high, and you ought to see me as being high and lifted up. And see me as being holy. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20, it helps us to see what we can acknowledge about God today. And Romans in chapter 1 and verse 19 says this. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has given us a wherewithal to be able to acknowledge God in creation. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You see, God has instilled within every man, woman, and child, he's instilled within us a desire and an understanding that there is a creator God. For someone to believe in evolution means that they had to be taught that. They've had to have some kind of influence in their life that has told them there is no God, and this is the way that we have been brought into where we're at today. We have just continued to evolve, and they explain it away by adding another 100 billion years to it. When the simplicity of it is that God has revealed to us in his creation that God is beyond our comprehension. God is so much higher than our thoughts. He is so much higher than our capabilities. And so we just need to acknowledge him as being so much more. We need to acknowledge him as being high and lifted up. We need to acknowledge him as being holy, holy, holy. We have creation itself, the Bible says, that revealed to us how high and lifted up he is, how holy he is. We have Old Testament history. We have the Bible in the Old Testament, the miracles performed by God for his chosen people, Israel. We have that available to us to be able to see how that the Bible, first of all, tells us everything we need to understand about creation. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about who God is and how God created man and how God chose a chosen people to represent him to the rest of the world. He chose Israel, a people to represent him to the rest of the world. And because he chose Israel, then he gave them a different set of laws to live by. He said, if you're going to represent me, then you have to represent me as a God that is high and lifted up. You have to represent me as a God that is holy. And so these are the ways that I want you to live to represent to the rest of the world that you serve a holy God. And so we find the instructions in the Old Testament on how Israel was given the law to live by. And we find the miracles that God performed for Israel in delivering them out of Egyptian bondage, allowing them to see the Red Sea parted. And how they allowed the children of Israel to see that God is real, and they walked across on dry ground. And then God caused the waters to come back together and drowned all the enemies of Israel, drowned the Egyptians that tried to follow after them. We find that God created a cloud to oversee them by days as to protect them from the sun as they would travel through the desert to the promised land. This was a constant awareness, an acknowledgement that God is with us. He allowed there to be a cloud of fire by night to be able to protect them from the cold of the desert. But even during the day and during the night, he allowed them to see the reality of God's presence. We have the history of the Old Testament. We have the history of the nation of Israel to look to find that God has preserved that for us today. And we see who God is and how God works. And the biblical principles that were established in the Old Testament are still true today. Truth never changes. But beyond that, then we have the New Testament. We have the history of the life of Christ. We have this New Testament completion of the revelation of God to mankind. Now we have the entire full revelation. We've had it for some 2,000 years. It hadn't changed. God has preserved this Bible right here. He has preserved His Word for the completion of the Word of God for some 2,000 years, and it will continue to be preserved by God. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Listen to me. This Bible, His word will never pass away. Why? Because God, who created all things, has preserved it and is preserving it and will continue to preserve it. Why? So that we might see how high and lifted up He is. And we might understand how holy, holy, holy He is. We have the life of Christ to look to. We have the fact that Jesus Christ was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That hadn't changed. Christianity is the only religion, if you want to call it a religion, it's much more than that. It's only faith that has a living Savior. Our Savior is still alive. Amen. The one that we put our faith in and follow after is still alive and ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have this to look to help us to realize that God is high and lifted up, that God is holy, holy, holy. We have the example of Christianity given to us by the life of Christ. He walked on this earth for some 33 years, laid His life down on the cross of Calvary, resurrected on the third day. We have the history. We have the history of His church. For 2,000 years, church just like this church. Now, maybe not a church with pews. Maybe not a church with air conditioning. Maybe not a church that has a climate control. Amen. And they might be sitting on logs and rocks and everything else. But can I tell you, that's really not what the church is. Praise the Lord for the conveniences that we have to be able to assemble ourselves together to worship Him today. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's not what the church is. The church is the place where God meets with us. Amen. It's a house of the Lord. Yes. It's a place where His people assemble together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's a place where we come together to acknowledge that He exists, that He is high and lifted up, that He is holy, holy, holy. It's a place that we come together to worship and to praise Him. It's a place that we come together where Jesus says, if you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. And as Christ is in the midst, God wants to speak to us. And He does speak to us in His church. As we come together as a church, we come together as a place of refuge. We come together to worship Him and come together to receive that spiritual food that keeps us spiritually alive. Amen. And focused on the right things. And what is that focus? That God is high and lifted up. That God is holy, holy, holy. For some 2,000 years, we've had the reminder of the church. Church instead preached the very same gospel that I'm preaching this morning. Amen. Taught the very same things. Why? Because it's come from God's Word, which God has preserved for us. We've had the history of the United States of America since 1776. To see how God had put His hand upon this great nation because this great nation looked to Him and even put on their currency, in God we trust. And was acknowledged, whether the officials today of this nation want to acknowledge it or not, those forefathers, those that were used by God to establish this great nation, identified this nation as a Christian nation. They adopted the Christian calendar. We've had the Christian calendar that acknowledges the birth of Christ, acknowledges the resurrection of Christ, so that our currency acknowledges the fact that in God do we trust. And we look back over the last 250 years or so, and see the hand of God. See how God has given this great nation great victories to allow us to be the nation that God has had his hand upon in order to get the gospel to all the world. America, a place of freedom of religion. America, a place where we can freely worship God and do the work that God's called us to do and reach the rest of the world. No doubt. We can see the hand of God. We should never have won World War I. If it wasn't for the hand of God, we would not have. We should never have won. If you looked at the paperwork, you looked at the odds and everything else, America should have never been able to win World War II. The only difference was the hand of God. Wow. God reveals a glimpse of who he is. We might not have visions today, but we have much today that helps us to be able to see God for who he is. And we had better acknowledge him as being high and lifted up. We better acknowledge him as being holy, holy, holy. After Isaiah was given this glimpse of who God is, Isaiah saw himself for who he was. Verse 5. Go back there with me. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Then said I, now he sees God for who he is, high and lifted up, holy, holy, holy. Then he said, woe is me. When you see God and acknowledge God for who he is, you'll see yourself and you'll say, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, man's greatest hindrance today is they fail to see themselves for who they are. And the reason they fail to see themselves for who they are, they fail to recognize God for who he is. Most view themselves as too busy, no time for God. We live in a very fast-paced society today. We live in a society that, if you'll let it, your job will control your life. Amen. They'll drain you of all your energy and strength and everything else because that's just what they're out there for. They want you to dedicate your life to that job, to that whatever it might be. And because of that, many today see themselves as just too busy, no time for God. You don't see God for who he is. Many today, they say, I'm doing fine on my own. I have no need for God. We study that in Sunday school, the rich man. An example of the law saying, look what I have. I don't need God. I'm rich. Why do I need God? I have more than anyone else. I've got a nice car, I've got a nice home, I've got this, I have that. And many today, they fail to acknowledge God and they fail to see themselves for who they are because they're all focused on things. They think to themselves, I have no need for God. I'm doing fine on my own, I'll just continue to build bigger and better barns to store it all in. Yeah. Many today, they see themselves as little gods. They see themselves as being able to live and do whatever they want to do without ever having to face the consequences. Because of that, they have no desire to change. I'll do what I want to do. And no one's going to tell me to do anything that I don't want to do. How sad. Isaiah saw the truth about himself because he first of all saw God for who he was. When you see God for who he is, then I believe that you can see yourself for who you are. Isaiah saw himself as a sinner because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He saw himself as being unworthy. Grace is unmerited favor. Don't deserve the love and the kindness and grace of God. Seen himself as a lost man. and need to have forgiveness and cleansing of sin. In the book of Romans in chapter 5, let me read to you what the Bible says, because we all need to understand this. Verse 12, it says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That's dating all the way back to Adam and Adam's sin. Because of Adam's sin, the Bible says, and death by sin, God said, "Adam, if you sin, you shall surely die." He died in his relationship with God, spiritually dead. He started dying physically, and then he started aging at that point. And so because of Adam's sin, whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin, now that I know that I'm a sinner, I have to understand the payment or the penalty of that sin, the wages of that sin is death, eternal damnation, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But you see yourself as a sinner deserving of the penalty of sin. But at the same time, Isaiah saw himself as a sinner and unworthy to be in God's presence, but he saw himself as a man that God loved. Can I tell you this morning, even though we're sinners, undeserving of to be in God's presence, we need to also see ourselves as someone that God loves. Because God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you, so that you'll not have to die and go to eternal hell, but you can have eternal life. We cannot be blinded by the fact that God loves us. I love what he says there in the same chapter in Romans in chapter 5. He says in verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, undeserving. Why? Because he loved you. God loved you enough to send his Son. Jesus Christ loved you enough to become that sacrifice for sins, to pay your debt that you could not pay. Praise the Lord for that. Because of his grace and his mercy, God offers us an opportunity to know him and to represent him. That's what we find in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar of sacrifice. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged." Now, we know this to be an illustration, if you will. This is something that acknowledges the fact that we today have our sins washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we call upon the name of the Lord and we ask Jesus Christ to forgive us and to cleanse us for our sins, it's through the blood of Christ that our sins are purged, our sins are forgiven, they're washed away. And that brings us into the presence of God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but once we received Christ and had our sins forgiven, then we are made alive unto God. As we're made alive unto God, then we are presented with an opportunity to represent him. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, this is what happened to Isaiah. This is the understanding of that for all of us today in this 21st century. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You have new opportunities. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," no other way, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." Ambassadors for Christ. God would give Isaiah an opportunity to be an ambassador for him. And in closing, look back there with me, because this is the third thing. After Isaiah saw himself for who he was, and was cleansed by the sacrifice that was come from the altar. His sin was purged. And then in verse 8 it says, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Opportunity. Opportunity. See, if you're saved here this morning, then God has given you opportunity. You've been forgiven, you've been cleansed, and you have been given an opportunity, a platform by which you can represent God. And that's the will of God, for every believer to represent God. But we have to get to this place, and we have to have this mindset. Once we understand that, if I'm saved, I've been saved and given opportunities to represent God, then it comes back to a choice for you to say, "Thank you, Lord." Knowing who you are, knowing that you're high and lifted up, knowing that you're holy, 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 knowing that you have done that for me and you have forgiven and cleansed me, and now you've revealed to me an opportunity to serve and represent you. Here I am. Here am I. Send me. Use me. Isaiah took advantage of the opportunity that God was given him. And he said this, basically, "Let me be your ambassador." Same thing that God wants us to say. All that has taken place. The very same thing has taken place. And if you see God for who he is, and you've seen yourself unworthy of what God has done for you, and yet you have received that as a free gift, and now you have been given an opportunity as a born-again child of God to say, "Here am I. Send me. Let me be your ambassador." It's a choice that every believer is to make. God saved you. He didn't save you with the conditions only if you become the ambassador that I want you to be. No. He saved you as a free gift. But you'll not get the most out of that free gift until you have done with it what God wants you to do with it. In this life, however long it is, a window of opportunity, in the midst of an eternity, use me today. In this 21st century, with everything that I have around me, all the opportunities available to me, God, I want to be your ambassador. Here am I. I'm presenting myself to you. I know it's your will for my life, and I'm presenting myself to you. Send me. I believe the first ones that God would send you to is your family. Every husband ought to look at himself as God's ambassadors to his wife and children. Every woman that's married ought to look at herself as an ambassador of God's to her husband and to her children. Do you see that? When you leave here this morning and you go home, will you go home thinking that I see God is high and lifted up and I understand what God's done for me and how I can be used by God, and I want to be that ambassador that God has in my own home, in my own marital relationship, in my own family, and how I raise my children, in the example that I set before them. Here am I, God, send me. Allow me to be your ambassador to my home. Here am I, God, allow me to be your ambassador to my church. For some 2,000 years, Jesus established the church, and the way that church is able to accomplish what God has it here to accomplish is for every believer to say to God, "Here am I, send me. Allow me to represent you with the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you've given to me and the opportunities that you've given to me. Help God, allow me to represent you in my church that you planted me in. Here am I. Use me." Is that how you come to church? Is that how you look at church? Yes, I'm going to go and I'm wanting to worship God and I'm wanting to be a part of it, but I want to represent God to every other person that's in this church.
I want to be an example to the believers. I want to welcome those who come in from outdoors, no matter who they are. I want them to be able to experience the love of Christ. I want them to be able to experience the forgiveness that God has for all who will seek after Him. Hear my, use me. Help me to be that example that the church needs. Help me to be used, whatever gift that you've given to me, whether it's to teach, whether it's to be in the nursery, whether it's to be in the choir, whatever it might be. I want to be your ambassador. Send me to my coworkers. Send me to my place of employment. You might be the only light. You might be the only salt at that place of employment. And you need to see yourself as God's ambassador. Here am I. Send me. And then send me to my world. Missions. Great commissions to go into all the world. That's what we do as a church. We come together and we support missionaries through Faith Promise Missions. We pray for them and we send monies to them, and we are able to partner with them to reach the world, to see souls saved, New Testament churches established all around the world. How are we able to do that? By people like Isaiah and like you, acknowledging the fact that who God is, seeing you for who you are, yielding to God and saying, God, here am I, send me. Send me. Would you be sent? Would you be willing today to see yourself as God's ambassador? What a great place to be. Here am I. Send me. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Great place to be. If you're saved here this morning, that's where God wants you to be. Do you see God as high and lifted up? See God as holy, holy, holy. Have you seen yourself as undeserving and yet thankful for the grace and mercy? If you see God for who He is and you see yourself, you're more apt to say, thank you for this opportunity, and present yourself to be used. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray now, God, that you would meet with us in this invitational time. God, I don't know just how you've had this message and how you've used it in the lives of those that are here, but I pray, God, that we would all receive it, be strengthened by it. If there's decisions that need to be made because of it, I pray that each one would be willing to make whatever decisions you'd have them to make. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.